Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why do these lepers stand at a distance from Jesus? A question worth considering in our text. For one, it was commanded of them in the law for lepers there to be really social pariahs. Not necessarily because the disease was contagious, but because leprosy was unclean, unholy. It was seen as less of a health disease to be healed from and more of a religious defect that's not to infect the holiness of Zion. Not only could they, like also the morticians and even women during their menstrual cycles, even though not only could they not participate in the worship life of the tabernacle until they underwent the purity ritual, but lepers were also excluded from society altogether until they were cleansed. And note the difference in the word we use. They were cleansed, not healed. But why did these 10 stand at such a distance if they really knew who Jesus was? It seems like they've heard quite a bit, being able to say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And yet their sickness kept them away. Even with the glimmer of hope, their fear kept them detached. Such is the depravity of sin. It isolates us. Sin divides us. Sin makes us hardened. It separates us from God and one another. It makes us lonely, this ever-clinging disease of original sin. But Jesus heals the sick, cleanses the impure, takes on their afflictions, bears their sorrows for them and with them. And here then lies the difference between the one leper and the 9 others. It isn't merely that the one gave thanks. The others, I'm sure, were certainly grateful at having been healed, cleansed. But the one knew the source of his sickness. That is sin. And the source of his healing, that is Christ. And sought to be ever nearer to he who bore his affliction with him, while these others remained distant. For this man's sake, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sick, assuming the leprosy, so that in Jesus this man would be cleansed. This account, it takes a bit more imagination work on our parts as we read the text as it goes forth. For one, it's hard to know exactly when the healing, the cleansing, took place. So get the scene back in your mind here. The 10 are far away. They cry to Jesus for help. Now, who knows exactly what kind of help, what kind of mercy they were expecting? Maybe even a bit of bread would have done for some of them. And some help that Jesus provides, at least initially. He tells them to go away. To the temple, yes, he says, "Show yourselves to the priests." Which everybody knew that was the step that you took as a leper after you observed the leprosy had gone away. That in order to confirm that you can re-enter society, the establishment, as established by God himself, needed to judge you as clean. So Jesus is saying to do what lepers would do after they noticed their leprosy had gone away, but their leprosy had not gone away. Nevertheless, Jesus commands them to go. As they went, the text says, they were cleansed. Now, it's easy to imagine to think this cleansing taking place upon maybe that first step towards the temple. But it could have been miles before this cleansing actually happened. It also could have been progressive, maybe little by little, step by step, it getting better progressively. Perhaps they walked for miles and miles, nothing happened, and they wondered together why they're going to the temple if they were still lepers. Miles and miles of even thinking this Jesus guy is just a fraud, that I'm going to the temple just to be turned away because, well, I'm still leprous. Then, when the cleansing does happen, the temptation would be strong to forget that it was, in fact, Jesus as the one who provided the miracle. Maybe they thought being cleansed at that time, especially if it happened little by little along the way, was just a coincidence. Or perhaps maybe they thought of Jesus as a prophet, but it's now their own obedience to such a command that saved them. Surely not a simple act of grace from He who created all things and delights to save. But the Samaritan leper, he knew that the core problem to his leprosy wasn't a mere sickness. That's the symptom. Sin is the true underlying disease. In all of its villainy, in all of our villainy. Contrast this to the nine others. On the one hand, they're all a bit humbled by their condition. Leprosy would do this to you. But their expression, "Have mercy on us," it shows that they've been reduced to begging. But that doesn't imply confession of sin, that they believe themselves deserving temporal and eternal punishment. There are plenty of sick folk or beggars in our world who might even blame God Himself. "You did this to me, God, so you do something about it. I'm the innocent victim here." Thus, their cry for mercy might be more of a cry of uncle than that of faith. But true saving faith doesn't rely on oneself, but instead looks to the giver and give thanks for however He, the giver, gives such grace and mercy. And that way is this, that the leprosy, it didn't just go away. Sin doesn't just vanish when it's forgiven. It must be transferred. That somebody does have to pay for what's been done. The wages of sin is death, and the bill is due. Disease leads to death, and any cure must come from one willing to go into death. So one Samaritan recognized that his leprosy, it didn't just vanish, it was taken. Into Jesus, his uncleanness was taken. And to the Samaritan, all cleansing from that God-man given, all purity. Into Jesus was taken all of the man's sins. Into the man and into you is given complete perfection. Into Jesus was taken all his guilt. Into the man, into mankind, is given all innocence. Into Jesus was taken alienation, not merely from society, but from God Himself. And into the man and into the baptized is given a life of fellowship, adoption into the family of God, a family of all ethnicities. The Samaritan received all of this by faith, as Jesus commends him by saying, "Your faith has saved you." He wasn't healed because of his faith. Rather, his faith received that greatest gift from Jesus, reconciliation with God. It's not because he gave thanks that he was saved. We don't receive the forgiveness of sins through works or in making good decisions or by seizing an opportunity. Good works, such as patience and even thanksgiving, follow the forgiveness of sins. But they do not cause or merit forgiveness. By definition, forgiveness is an act of mercy. Nothing except boundless love can cause one to be forgiven. Forgiveness is undeserved and comes not from the worthiness of the recipient, but from the goodness of the giver. The penitent simply believes it, and the belief delivers the benefit of the gift. So together, the saved and the thankful of God, his baptized people, are knit together into the body of Christ. We are assumed into the body of Christ. You in your baptism were washed clean, cleaner than any leper could ever be made clean. You are no longer at a distance looking and wondering if God will receive you as your own. He does. He has. He will. The Lord cares for you. He cares about you when you're holed up as a patient in the hospital or a not-so-patient patient. The Lord hears your cries for deliverance, desires to give you the strength to withstand the evil days and to give you relief at the time that best serves you and your faith. So like the Samaritan, self-diagnose your sin. Make it clear. Make it plain. I have done this, so Lord, forgive me of this. And being forgiven, believe then that the Lord does not look at your sin at all, and especially when you pray. He does not scorn your prayers because of your sin. And so like the Samaritan, expect good to come when you cry out to the Lord for mercy. And when his cleansing, healing, deliverance delays, when you're asked to walk even more miles with your own version of leprosy, don't forget that the Lord has promised your deliverance. It is sure. It is certain. It will come. His will is to save you. Period. He might take you on a journey, but even on that journey, he is always with you along the way. He feeds you along the way. Draw near to the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, for Jesus has drawn near to you. Take the place where God has brought you to. Our Lord has paid for you with his own blood. You belong in this place, at this home. Kneel, give thanks. For only he can give you the true gifts that you need, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. You don't need to stand at a distance to your Savior. No, he has assured you that all things shall work together for good for those who love him, for those who were first loved by him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.